Salvation comes through childbearing, meaning that everyone has to bring forth that salvation out of his spiritual womb. In a letter to Timothy, Paul writes something a bit strange here, something that has caused a bit of confusion in the church today. Confusion because people use these scriptures to kind of take undue advantage of women, but let us see what the Spirit intends to communicate to us through this letter of Paul. Now, it does not matter if Paul at that point in time did not understand what he was writing. What matters is how we receive these things by the Spirit of God. Bear in mind that a lot of these Old Testament, or rather these New Testament apostles, were just entering into that new era in Christ. They were just coming out of the old order, the old Hebrew religious order. And they were entering into the new dimension, the new dispensation in Christ. So a lot of them carried their baggages with them. Their religious mentality. We could see that Peter, at a point in time, was still discriminating between Gentile and Jew. He had not become aware that they are in Christ, there is no Gentile, there is no Jew, but all are made one. So you can see that they carried a lot of their beliefs, a lot of their traditions from the Hebrew era into the Christian, the new dispensation in Christ. And to this day, many people are in bondage. We see people who tie scarves. I was shocked. I was in a couple of churches in Italy, and I saw women who just have a veil over their whole head, cover their head, before they get seated in church. They feel that probably they are obeying the letters of Paul, you know, which says that a woman should cover her hair, otherwise she, if not, she dishonors her head. But all these are not things to be observed in the natural, in this new dimension, in this new dispensation in Christ Jesus. We've entered into a new dispensation in the Spirit, an eternal day. No more the religious order, no more outward show. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. So Paul here speaks in a letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He speaks about the woman. You see it? I'll just start from verse 9. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. You see it? But with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now this is a spiritual language here, because Eve in this context is the church. Praise God. Eve in this context is the church who has to be placed under the subjection of Christ the Spirit. Praise God. We must learn to be subject to our head, which is Christ the Spirit. Christ is our head, and it means that the head decides for us, the head sees for us. See, the head thinks for us. See, the mind of Christ is ours, no longer any other type of mind. So we have to be subject to the Spirit once more. See? And most of the problems we have as men is because we have not been subject to the Spirit of God. So we'll be like wayward women playing the harlot. But the time has come now to be subject to the Christ who is our head. See, praise God, we should be subject to the Christ which is our head, and we should live, you know, a life of holiness, sobriety, in charity and in faith. In so doing, we can bear fruit unto salvation. Paul states clearly that the woman shall be saved in childbearing. It's not about giving birth to physical children. That has got nothing to do with the salvation of God. We're speaking here about spiritual things, about birthing the Christ. You see, birthing the Son of God, birthing Christ. So if you look in the natural, when a man and a woman unite in marriage, what happens actually is that the two become one, and that oneness is seen in the seed. That oneness is seen in the child. Praise God. Today I don't have my physical parents. My parents after the flesh, they are no more. But you can see that I am a product of that union in the flesh. So what you are seeing today is a union in the flesh. I'm talking of the outer body, my outer self, my natural existence. It's actually a union. It's actually a reflection, or rather, the fruit of the union between my parents, my father and my mother. Because my mother had to be subject to my father, and today I bear the name of my father or my dad after the flesh. Now this principle does not change in the spiritual. To inherit the salvation of the Lord, the church has to be subject to Christ. And of course, we know that the salvation of the Lord is in the seed. The salvation of the Lord is in the new creation man, which is the Christ. What happens when we are subject to the Spirit, when we are married to the Spirit, is that a child comes forth, which is the Christ. And this is the one that inherits everything that is God's. Hence, Paul says that the woman shall be saved in childbearing. Praise God. The woman shall be saved in childbearing. These things are very, very important. that we understand these concepts. Who praise God. Now these are the things that God was trying to communicate to Abraham. Right from the days of old, God was trying to communicate to Abraham about the birthing of the Christ. About the birthing or the bringing forth of the Christ. But of course, at that time, Abraham did not get it. The word of God to Abraham in those days was, leave your house, leave your father's house. See it, leave everything, you know, and I will establish my covenant with you. I'll make you great. But if you observe the promises of God, they are actually directed to the seed of Abraham, to the son of Abraham, to the child of Abraham, and that is why Abraham went earnestly desired, you know, a son. Because he knew that to inherit the blessings of God, he had to bring forth a child. Of course, Abraham received these promises, everything in natural. And of course, he had the blessings in a natural dimension. But today, there remains something that is eternal. There remains something that is eternal today, because Abraham did not actually receive the ultimate of that which God has reserved for those that love Him. See, that's why the Bible is always quick to say, mind how you hear. See, when we hear wrongly, when we fail to hear and perceive things after the Spirit, with spiritual understanding, there's a tendency that we either form religion out of it, see, or we interpret these things carnally, and these things, one way or the other, do not bring the desired satisfaction that we seek. Today, God tells you, leave your house, leave your father's house, leave everything, and follow me. See, and you know, in your seed you shall receive a blessing. Blessing of fruitfulness. Blessing of invisibility. See it. Blessings of prosperity. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. If God tells you that today, of course, it does not have to mean you're leaving your country physically, but rather it's a spiritual journey with God. It's talking about leaving the lies, the illusions, the gods of this age. Leaving the lies of this age and following the Spirit of the Lord in the regeneration. Praise God. A point came where Abraham met with God, and God told Abraham that, I am your exceeding great reward. But Abraham did not get it there. See, Abraham failed to realize that what the Lord was saying is that out of his womb, He will bring forth that same seed who has the father's name written upon him. Be perfect. Walk before me and be perfect. I am your exceeding great reward. The seed that is of promise, that is the seed to be birthed, is actually the Christ who is one with the Father. So it is the seed that has the inscription of the Father God upon it. offspring of God. Praise God. So, childbearing is a must for anyone who enters into the new dispensation in Christ. Sons of God, we must bring forth the Son of God. We must bring forth the Christ, and this is done by faith as we hear the voice of truth in this hour. Praise God. This is done by faith as we begin to perceive the scent of the Spirit. Going over to the book of Revelations, chapter 12, a great vision that John saw. See, John saw a series of visions, lots of visions that he compiled in a book called the Book of Revelations, which actually means the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the unsealing of Jesus Christ. Everything you see in the Book of Revelation all points to the unsealing of the great salvation of God. And the great salvation of God is all embedded in the Christ in you, and this is the Christ that has to be birthed in every man. Without wasting time, let us read Revelation chapter 12 verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 horns and 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the 10th part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was already to be delivered, for to devour her child as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was, where she has a place prepared of God, that she should feed her, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Praise God. So John here sees a woman in travail, about to bring forth a child. This woman was clothed with the sun, and she had the moon underneath her feet, and she travailed to bring forth a son, which John describes here as the man child, the man child who is caught up to God, is caught up into the dimensions of God. See, it is an ascended state, an ascended consciousness, so that this one sits and rules on the throne of God. A man child. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, this woman was clothed with the sun, and she had the moon underneath her feet. Now, what does this mean? We know the moon itself has no light of its own. The moon itself has no light of its own. The moon is just material. We can call it, liken it to dead material. See it? when you see the moonlight, what you are seeing is actually a reflection of the sun. The moon recedes from the sun, and depending on the angle in which it is, it reflects that light, you know, to the earth at night. So when you see the moonlight, which is the light of night, you know, that operates at night, you are seeing a distorted form of the light. You are not seeing the true light that comes from the, you know, from the source, which is the sun. Today, the inhabitants of this world who walk in the night, because Paul says that we are not of the night, but we are of what? Of the day. Those who walk at night live by that light that is generated by the moon, or rather that is reflected by the moon. It's actually a distorted form of light. I will interpret this spiritually by saying that that light from the moon is very much the intelligence of man, the natural understanding of man. See, just look around you. Everything you see in this world, all the inventions, all the works of men, are actually shadows of the real thing. See, everything that a man sets his hand to do, I'm talking of a man who is not illumined with the true light of life, everything that he sets hand to do in this world is simply a distorted form of that original light. Our inventions, our, you know, how do I put it? Anything you see in the natural, our thoughts, religious order, everything is simply a distorted form of the truth. See, so you can see that the moon, you can call the moon something like the carnal mind, the wisdom of this world. See, it's something that is not aware of the things of God, because the sun represents the pure, undiluted wisdom of God. It represents the mind, the consciousness of the living God, where there is no darkness at all. Praise God. And we who are of the day, we who walk by the pure, undiluted revelation of the Christ, we who live by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, by the intelligence derived from God, we live by that light from the sun. We are clothed with the sun. We are endued with wisdom from above. Praise God. Hallelujah. The moon is underneath our feet. See it. That is the deadened mind, the carnal mind, or the wisdom of this age that is not aware of the things of God. It's carnality. Where there is carnality, there is all kind of disorder and all kind of, how do I put it? You have warrings here and there, discords here and there. See it, murders, hate, and everything we see in this world is a result of the carnal mind. Praise God. But thank God for the wisdom that we are receiving from above. Praise God. We are clothed with that sun. See, and it is we who are clothed with that celestial wisdom, undiluted wisdom, that are able to bring forth the Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you heard all the sayings that be not conformed to this world? Hallelujah. But be you transformed as the Holy Spirit enables you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I will bring forth a seed will bring forth a child, a man child. That one which comes forth is actually a spiritual personality. It's actually the man of the spirit. Praise God. It's one who inhabits eternity. One who does not live in a dimension of time and space. See, it is one who is not bound to the beggarly elements of this world. But is one who is exalted, who lives in the elevated consciousness of God. Pure, undiluted wisdom of God. Everything about God is plain. Everything about the spirit realm is plain. And these ones rule in oneness with God because they have rediscovered that they are one with God. Living as a man in carnality is simply ignorance of who you are. It's simply ignorance of the, from, you know, of the reality that I and the Father are one. Praise God. So this man child must be birthed in every man. See, as we let go of the lies of this age, put aside the lying wisdom of this age, and receive pure, undiluted wisdom, revelation light. See, and when you receive this revelation light, you lose your life, you lose the illusion of being something that is separate from God, something that is independent of God, something that has a life of its own. All that is over, and we now begin to live consciously in the realization that besides the Lord, there is no other. Praise God. This is the seed, incorruptible seed, the incorruptible, invisible Son of God, whose kingdom has got no end, and He rules forever. The prophet Isaiah speaks about the birthing of this child. Praise God. In fact, in two places, in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 7, it speaks about a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Why a virgin? Why does he use the term virgin? A virgin shall conceive and receive his, and you know, bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. Now this thing must be fulfilled in every man today who can hear the voice of truth. So why are they virgins? Virgins because these ones are not contaminated with the lies of this world. Virginity represents purity. And a man can attain this thing simply by walking in truth, by knowing the truth, walking in truth. Simple. He has given us today the water of the word, the Spirit of God, to present us blameless, without spot, without blemish, to present us unto Himself. Just a matter of submitting to the revelation light of God purifies the hearer into realizing his virginity. Virginity is symbol of separation from the lies that constitute this world. See, virgins, separate from the world. virgin shall be with child. Oh, praise God. That child is the same man child. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, let's read this. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be what? No end. Sit upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this in our lives, in our individual lives, and he's doing it right now as you are listening to this word. This is the Father's good pleasure to cause you to realize this new birth in reality, to experientially have it. See, unto us what a child is, what is born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. This is the man child who sits upon the throne of God. This is the man child whose kingdom has no end. His kingdom was without end. He rules upon the throne of David without end. This is the one that is exalted above all. Hallelujah. We saw this thing physically made manifest, or symbolically made manifest, in the life of Mary, the Virgin Mary, when she brought forth Jesus. These same words from Isaiah were spoken by the angel who transmitted the message to her. An angel appeared with these same words to Mary. And what did Mary, the Virgin, do? She received it by what? By faith. She received the word of this angel by faith, and she said, may it be unto me according to your word. That if you can hear this message today, what you are hearing is the voice of the messenger of God. See, just forget, don't look at my face, don't look at my face, don't look at my, don't bother about listening to the voice of the Spirit. See it? Hallelujah. Listening to the voice of the Spirit. Because the Spirit, the voice, the angel, the messenger is saying this hour, that unto you a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Of his kingdom, of his dominion, there shall be no end. Say it, unto you this child is born today. You who have ears to hear, you who can receive these words by faith. This is the same message that was transmitted to Abraham many years ago, but Abraham was unable to comprehend what the Lord was saying. Abraham brought forth, you know, Isaac. He brought forth Ishmael also along the way, and you can see to this very day it's one problem after the other. Is God the author of confusion? Of course, God is not the author of confusion. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let us get this thing straight. God is saying today through his messenger that out of your very womb will come forth that man-child. That man-child who sits upon the throne of God. That man-child who is caught up into God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. That man child who lives in the full consciousness of God the Father, unto you that child is born. But let the Holy Spirit overshadow you the same way it overshadowed Mary. See it? Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. See it? And when she was overshadowed, what happened is that she brought forth that seed. Today we have to unite with the Spirit of God. Let go of our wisdom. Because if we unite with the Spirit, if we are married to the Spirit, like Paul says that we are one Spirit, say it, we are married to the Lord. If you are married to the Spirit, it means that the Spirit is now your head. It means that you now have the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Lord, the Spirit is Christ. So you no longer walk according to the carnal instincts or according to the course of this age. But now we walk in the spiritual heights of God. Praise God. All Mary did was to say, may be unto me according to your word. She believed these things and she submitted to the Spirit of God. Who prayed patiently, she received this thing, and in due season she brought forth Jesus. Praise God. Now, like I told you, these are symbols. See, the birthing of Jesus Christ after the flesh in the manger of the virgin birth, all these are symbols to teach us spiritual things. Praise God. Because your womb, you who are waking to truth, your womb is that virgin womb that brings forth the Christ. Even Jesus as a man had to hear that same trumpet voice. Do you believe that? See, when Jesus Christ was born into this world, when he started his life as a young boy and everything, you know that was not in reality the Son of God in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus Christ started to walk in the reality of being the Son of the Most High God when he was baptized by the Holy Ghost, when he received the Holy Ghost, when he united with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus himself had to hear that same trumpet voice that Mary heard, that same trumpet voice that Abraham heard. He too had to receive that revelation from above, that unto you a child is born. And when Jesus Christ received this revelation, we see that he is turned out to be a new creature, walking in great power and in great majesty. And the way he walked over 2,000 years ago is the same way he is today. Because his kingdom has no end. He is seated upon the throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what is the hope of our calling? What do we desire as Christians? What greater thing is there than to bring forth the Christ, the Son of the living God? There is nothing greater than that. Nothing. It cannot be compared to gold, silver, and all the riches that this world can offer, than realizing Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every man has to birth Christ. Every man has to bring forth this new creature who is one with the Father. Oh, praise God. When John saw that vision in heaven, there's another thing he observed. He observed the dragon who was waiting to devour that child. There was a dragon waiting to destroy that child as soon as it was birthed. Praise God. And we saw this thing happening physically, symbolically in the time of Jesus. When he was birthed, when he was born in a manger, we saw that a decree came forth. You know, seeking to kill all firstborn male children in Jerusalem in that period. And you see, for a period, they had to, you know, leave that territory to go into Egypt to save the life of the baby Jesus. See, there's always something out there trying to destroy or trying to resist the coming forth of this precious seed of God. Let us understand today that it does not have to be something external all the time. It can also be just the mind. It's talking about the wisdom of this world. It talks about the systems of men, the systems of religion. It talks about the carnal mind, everything without that opposes the revelation of the Christ in you. See, it's this world. That's why we are admonished to stand our ground and don't let, you know, ourselves be robbed of this good thing. Let no man rob you of your crown of life. Let no man rob you of your eternal glory. Let no man, it doesn't have to be somebody external. Man could be even your the wisdom, the carnal mind. It could be your own mind, your own old beliefs. So in the message to the church in Philadelphia, it says, let no man rob you of your crown. When you hear of men in this sense, man, it's the same thing with the dragon. The dragon, the serpent, Satan, devil, all these things simply speak of the carnal reasoning and wisdom of men, of this age, of this system, this world that denies the Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, it says that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall smite the heel, see, of the seed of the woman. Now, that serpent is dragon. It talks about a warring between the flesh and the spirit. Praise God. The flesh starts right from your mind and it goes way around into the web, this world system, the systems of men, the systems of religion, everything that is in this carnal dimension that is ignorant of God's order, of God's world. And it tried to suffocate the birthing of this freeborn, Son of God, this man-child that is within you. At times your family members can stand in your way as that dragon. Your old beliefs your church brethren, society. Praise God. All these things stand as that dragon, seeking that beast, seeking to devour. See, but thank God, God gives us wings to fly. Wings. Praise God, to fly. And keeps us and protects us, those of us who abide and continue in the world. Those of us who continue in the world, not allowing ourselves, you know, to be deceived. John says that anybody born of God keeps himself so that the wicked one does not touch him. You see this in 1 John. See it. Any man born of God, he that is born of God keeps himself so that the wicked one does not touch you. That's the dragon. Praise God. Don't let the influences of this world, religion, beliefs of men, trap you anymore in the corruption that is in this world. Let the revelation of Christ liberate you into the glorious liberty in the heights of God. Praise God. Jesus Christ spoke about the birthing of the man child in John chapter 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. See it. And the woman in this instance is the church, it's you. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into this world. A man child is born into this world. And you now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, no man taken away from you. No man, no dragon, no devil, no Satan, taken away your joy from you anymore. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Very, very little I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give unto you. Praise God. And now Jesus Christ is speaking here about the emergence of the Christ within you, which is the birthing of the Christ within you. Of course, on account of the world, initially, when you might go through certain struggles, certain, you know, we can call it the wilderness stage, but definitely with patience and with continuity, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because a child is born into this world, a man child who is actually the Christ. Jesus Christ said, you shall see me again. Actually, you shall see the Christ that you are again. See it. And in that day, no man shall take away your joy. See the influence of, you are now exalted into God's dimensions of unlimited blessings, so that the things of this world can no longer affect your prosperity. See, no man can take away your joy. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ says something. He says, in that day you shall ask of me nothing, and very, very I say you, it shall be done unto you. Now, why is he saying this? He's trying to demonstrate here that the all power has been restored back to you. the rulership, the dominion, that all power that was lost is restored back to the church, back to you, as you come forth in the new creation man, which is the Christ. In the song of Anna, Anna speaks about the barren woman that brings forth seven. He's speaking here about the birthing of this personality of light, which is the man-child. Praise God. This is the hope of the calling of every man who hears truth today. Let us put the moon under our feet. That is carnality. That is pure carnality. Let all that be put on our feet, and let us once more begin to walk by that true light represented by the sun. That true light, the source. Let us live by the name and the only name that exists, which is Christ, which is the name of the Father, which is by God. When you use God in undiluted terms, let us live as God on account of God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, before Abraham got a promise, there was one last hurdle Abraham passed in Genesis, where Abraham met with the Lord by the plains of Mamre. The Bible says that Abraham lifted up his face, he lifted up his head, and what he saw, the Lord. Abraham saw the Lord, and Abraham humbled himself to serve the Lord. And it was while Abraham was serving the Lord that he received a definite word, which said, by this time next year, your wife Sarah shall be with a child. Abraham was seated under the trees by the plains of Mamre, and he lifted up his face, his head, in a symbolic gesture. And when he lifted up his head, he saw three men, and it was the Lord. He recognized that it was the Lord appearing to him as a man. And Abraham zealously served the Lord, washed the feet of the Lord, fed the Lord. And when the Lord had eaten, or rather while the Lord was eating, he asked, where is your wife? I will visit her next year, and she shall be with child. She shall bring forth that man child, that seed in whom is the promise, that seed called Isaac, which in reality is the Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And God fulfilled his word. Why? Because Abraham had decided to start to behold the celestial vision. You see, when you look up, you will see the Lord. That is why Jesus Christ, whenever he prayed, he looked up symbolically. It doesn't mean that we have to go out there and start looking up when we are praying. Rather, these are symbolic gestures. When Jesus Christ prayed, and normally he looked up to heaven. And you know, it is a sign of recognition of that presence that fills all in all. Because when we are looking up, you can see nothing but the Lord and the Lord alone. When you look down, which is a carnal gesture, you look to the earth, You don't see the Lord. You see earthly things. That's where you see men, and that's where you see divisions, and that's where you have religions and beliefs and all that. But when you look up, what you can see is the Lord. And Abraham came to a place where he looked up and saw the Lord and became united to the Lord to serve the Lord. And in so doing, he finally broke the jinx and brought forth the child of promise. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Today, what should we do? Follow the teachings of Jesus, who bent down to wash the feet of his disciples. And he told them, if you understand what I'm doing, do the same thing and you shall be greatly blessed. As Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples, I can assure you that Jesus Christ was not seeing Peter, neither was he seeing any of the disciples before him. His face was up. His head was up as he washed the feet of the disciples. And when your face is up, when your vision is up, what you can see is the Lord and the Lord alone, because the Lord is the one in us and through us all and above us all. Besides the Lord, there is no other one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ said, if you can understand this, what I'm doing, blessed are you. Praise God. We must recognize that besides the Lord, there is no other. We must lift up our heads, our face to the heavens, and to see the Lord, and to serve the Lord, and to worship the Lord, and to honor the Lord. In so doing, you shall see a child come forth out of you without even knowing. Praise God. Serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, recognizing the Lord, honoring the Lord, walking in truth, clothed with the sun, denying all falsehood, having the moon under the feet, all carnality under the feet. Praise God. No more walking in shadows, but walking by faith in the perfect day of the Lord. Praise God. This is how the man child comes forth. And even as the man child comes forth, let every man who has heard these words keep it diligently throughout all eternity. God bless you.
You dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings.
his wings find refuge. His faithfulness, your shield. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you death shall not come, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. There you are, the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun.